Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hi, everyone. I want to welcome to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are in the Cafe Book Club. Hoo-hoo! We're doing Friendtipacy by Shasta Nelson. And really want to encourage everybody, if this is the first episode that you're listening to, really go back to, we've got like a couple more we've already recorded that we'd really love for people to go back and check that out. We're in Chapter 5 and 6 of Friendtipacy, and Shasta does such a really great job at the beginning of Part 1. She broke it into three different parts. I'm talking about just so many dynamic things that have really been happening with society and just the world in general in the last couple decades, and why there's just such a need for us to be understanding friendship and friendtimacy in just such a different way. It's a lot of it has to do with technology. A lot of it has to do with the age of loneliness. Anything else you want to add with that, Amy?
Well, I just think there's so many studies that are showing that success is one of the main reasons you need to have social connections, is that without that, you really aren't successful.
Yeah, and this is Amy Frost. She is my sister, my co-host. Always love to have Amy on board and helping us with all this stuff. Yeah, and I really love how Shasta looks at the research, and she does all kinds of surveys, and just is continually deepening the understanding of all this when it comes to friendtimacy. This is her second book. And you want to talk a couple seconds about Shasta's first book, because I know that you've read it, and anything you'd like to share?
Well, what I liked about it, I think it's kind of like any movement. It's really about the awareness. The first book is Friendships Don't Just Happen. And I think that people just under the premise, if we know people or we even hang out with people, that we're friends. And that's not true. And so that first book really, and she created Girlfriend Circles, because she found herself in a new city and didn't have any friends. And so that was her first step towards, okay, now, yes, friendships don't just happen, but how do they happen? And how do we nurture them? And why are they important in our lives? So with any important movement, first there's awareness. And then second, you go out and make changes. And the third phase is, it's just the way, the new normal. So I'm excited to the next phase, but right now, we're aware that there's a lot of loneliness going on and friendship is important. Now, how do we do that? So that's why the chapter 6 and 7, which we're going to be going over tonight, I think are really important in helping with that. Chapter 6 is consistency and 7 is vulnerability, deepening meaning.
Yeah, I really love it because we just start out on right off the bat with chapter 6. Shasta says, the belief we don't have any time for meaningful connections is easily the number one complaint I hear as to why it's so hard to foster substantial relationships. Even with those who feel they have the time for friends, they say friendship suffers because friends don't make time for them. So it's just that importance of consistency and really being in a place where you've got that person that you can rely on and know that they're there for you. She goes on to just there with the happiness science. There's all kinds of really wonderful foundational things that have to do with friendship. It says Amy was talking about, coming to a new city and having to develop all these new relationships. She says, if you relocate from a city where you regularly see your family and friends to one where you're not, you would need to earn an extra $133,000 just to make up for the lack of happiness you feel from being far from those people. And I was like, wow, that's a chunk of change. My goodness, it was just that was a great statistic. And a study in the social science and medicine showed that if people volunteer at least once a week, it increases their well-being with an equivalent of increasing their salary from $20,000 to $75,000. You know, that's a $55,000 increase. And, I always think of like the Dalai Lama when it comes to just any sense of service. It's always about, what do you get from that as opposed to how you're serving? It's wonderful. But it really helps you to open your heart and just come from this new place of really just being there for another person. And it just goes back to the friendship of, opening yourself up to being in a place where, who are you right now? And, how can we be here for one another? So I thought that was really great. Was there anything else in that research that you thought you wanted to share, Amy?
Well, a couple of things for that same exact thing with the volunteering once a week, the equivalent of increasing in terms of your well-being, increasing your annual salary from $20,000 to $75,000. I was talking to Dr. Lynn Joseph this week. She's doing a workshop at the International Association of Comprehensive Energy Psychology on work after 40 and getting work and having meaningful work. And I had read this to her, and we were talking on Sunday. And a matter of fact, I got with Shasta, and we got the exact study. So she is going to be quoting that in her presentation at the conference, because I think that it's really an important part of work balance, and really think about, oh my goodness, that other people matter. And then when you're volunteering, you're sharing yourself with another person. And that's on page 83. Really, I think one of the reasons we struggle with having friendships is like, oh, I want to, but I just don't have the time. Well, I think that work addiction feeds into that. So the last paragraph in that square they have says, unfortunately, many of us live in a world that rewards producers. One that gives us pats on the shoulder for working weekends, bonuses for reaching goals, and fame for being rich. It won't be easy to wean ourselves off the addictive cocaine of consumerism. And the dopamine hits we get from receiving money indeed fires our brains just like cocaine. But we owe it to ourselves to see the truth of where our real happiness resides. And that's human connection, I believe.
Yeah, that was really a powerful thing. You know, along with that, when it comes to, you know, the workplace, she makes a really good there's like a 7-time increase with friendships that you make at work for the sense of productivity and also just the stress levels. You know, people are less stressed and just happier at work because, you know, they have these bonded relationships at work. And boy, I mean, you know, I can think of every job I possibly have had and have now, just the deep, wonderful relationships I've had with people when you're a coworker with each other. And just, I mean, I think on some levels, that's when it talks about vulnerability and intimacy. Those are some of the deepest relationships. You spend so much time with those people that, you know, if you can really be in a sense of really seeking to connect with other people that you relate to, how much more meaningful and just rewarding that is when it gives you a sense of purpose for your life. It's like, you know, are you doing what you love? Well, I think it's, you know, to bring love to what you do, and that can really help you to just enrich whatever activities you are having. I've heard that's just a wonderful way of saying that. And having other people that have that same philosophy and that same mindset, boy, you know, anything you do can really be enriched and have it where it's benefiting, you know, just the oneness and the wholeness of everything. So she also talks about what we say makes us happy versus what really makes us happy. And boy, you know, just like we're talking about getting into the consumerism and looking at, you know, the addictions of getting into all these different things that society and capitalism and everything would have on it. You know, you're always thinking, well, if I made the money, I'd be happy. But really what it's really shown with research is just that, you know, it's that being married and having friends and having the quality of your different networks and having these connections with people that really enriches our lives. It's not a matter of like, yeah, it's nice to have a little extra money, but what, you know, because that gives you a sense of having a little more free time, I think. So you can be with your friends and do things that you enjoy a little bit more and sharing those things with people. I loved when she had talked about the rocks, the pebbles, and the sand. Have you ever done that before, Amy, where you try to put all that stuff together? So basically,
that's pretty standard now. I think that culture that, you know, that people go, oh, yeah, I got that. Oh, yeah, I understand that.
Mm-hmm. Because like for me, a long, long time ago, it was walnuts and rice. Can you put all that together? So it was like walnuts and then putting rice in there. I remember when we had that as an exercise, all of us were like, what? How am I going to do all that? You know, so I like how she broke it down even more to where it's rocks and pebbles and sand. Because I think it's that even more a deepening thing. And she says, friendships are the rocks. And boy, if you know, you take the time and have the commitment to be connecting with someone, how that can be just such a, you know, rock, my foundations, you know, having that touchstone, literally. I mean, we can use a lot of different ways that this is a great metaphor of ways that can really enhance yourself and your life in general. So she's got the different practices and stuff that go along with that. And that's one thing I like about Shasta. She's really giving you different experiences to be able to share with another person. And just, you know, and let me pause for a second and see how that feels for me about, you know, what she's just presented and having just different things for being connecting with everything. One thing I like too is she's bringing in Stephen Covey with the 7 Habits of Productive People with the powerful lessons of personal change. And boy, if you've never looked at anything with Stephen Covey, I really want to encourage people to go back and look at his work. He was just phenomenal in the 80s and 90s of just really helping. Business mindset really changed in making everything a lot more proactive and really helping people to, do what they love in ways that make sense to everybody. So anything with that, Amy, you wanted to make sure we talked about?
Well, in terms of, using our time well, she talks about there are 4 practices for investing in our priority of others. And number one is to gift your relationships with time. Well, you can't do that if you've given away all your time other places. So I think that's an important part. You're not going to get more time, but it's about shifting the time to what is really important to me and how many friends do I really need. I mean, breaking it down to those 5 different types, you can only have so many committed friends. You just time, money, and energy. That's what you can have. So really identifying that, who am I going to put my time and energy into, I think was really significant.
Yeah, one thing that she talked about that I wanted to kind of just have us talk about was that she said studies are now finding that our bodies are so used to adrenaline that we feel more anxiety when we don't have stress hormones running through our nervous system instead of pushing the reset button. And I was like, wow. And I mean, I think a lot of that's just, that what's going to be my next fix for, just keeping my adrenaline going. Because I mean, it's going out and driving around and things like that. And everything just feels like it's just faster and faster all the time. So she talks about that, going into the gift of time is the currency of intimacy. I thought that was a great, great line that she shared with that.
I agree with that. Well, the people that, are willing to give you their time, that is huge. And it really takes a lot of, you're important to me, and that shows. And I think, the thing that was most significant for me, I think that was very important. Again, we're back to work addiction and a culture that's obsessed with that. Then she talks about how do you rate yourself in initiating relationships? So that starts off in 91. And where would you rate yourself now? 1 being never initiate, and 10 being always initiate. Robin, what did you rate yourself on 91 there?
I had myself at about a 7, so about a 7 and 8, depending on. But I mean, a lot of my relationships have always pretty much come from, networking. Things like that, working with other people that have their own businesses, or if I'm going to a retreat or something like that, I usually find people within the whatever group that we're working with and having that, it's just like anything, you have something in common, a common camaraderie about something and, pursuing that. Although, I've had a couple people that I met recently at that Mark Nepo and we all like, oh yeah, let's get together. And it's been 3 or 4, phone calls and, people are busy and it's that commitment of like, yeah, we'll get together and that's kind of piddled out. So it's interesting to see how that is. So, is it going to be mine to, call that person again and just say, how are you now? Is it a good time for us to go ahead and get back together again? So it's just kind of, depending on what's going on with everything. So, it's just like, are we trusting that those connections are going to be a waste of time? I love how she talks about, one of the most powerful beliefs is that we need to let go of is trusting that our connections are a waste of time, when it comes to different stuff or like sizing people up. She makes a big, she makes a good conversation about that, about, sometimes we're not our best when it comes to like, oh, that person would be good for me or bad for me, when it comes to something like that. So I thought that was a really good point that she had about, just get to know somebody and see where that goes. So I think it was a good point about, being that moment and not having an agenda about what you're going to be doing. She says, be present and friendly with people who are already around you. You aren't necessarily looking for that perfect friend. It's, the people around you are, we have something in common. It's just like with the triangle. Are we positive? Are we in a person, is somebody who you feel like, can be honest with you, have maybe a certain level of vulnerability with you? And there's a sense of commitment with that person.
We see with women, especially when it comes to men, there's a new man in their life and everybody else disappears. So
right,
same thing
right.
with any relationship. It's like, oh, you're my new best friend. because I don't know your flaws and you haven't hurt me yet. You know, so mm-hmm. I think we have to be careful about that is, you know, you don't have to jump in so quickly that we cause a wake with their existing relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love, Shasta came up with the word friendspiration. She used it, it's friend with friendspiration. It says, I am not meant to judge my interactions, but to be present to them. I thought that was a really good thing that she talked on there.
About the ones that are in front of you, but also all the ones that are in your ear, the map of your life, too. And I'm going to talk a little bit on initiating.
Right.
I don't want to get into it too much, because there's, you know, lots of great material there. But, you know, if you're always the initiator, if you're way over on the side of initiating, you know, look at some of the reasons why that might be is maybe, you know, that that's your temperament more so than another person's. And you know, other things, awareness and practice. So know that that material is good right there for you. And that, and I really love, she talks about this, the initiator mantra on the top of page 93, which I would say both of us are. Do you want to read that, Robin? Or you want me to?
No, I'd love to read it. Yeah, it says, I am the primary initiator in my relationships, not because this is something, there is something wrong with me, but because there is something right with me. I initiate because I value more connection in my life. I initiate because a relationship requires it in order to get any momentum and to give that gift. I initiate because this world needs more people who prioritize relationships, and I am willing to be one of them. I initiate because I am the one who knows the benefit of more connection. I initiate because I am brave, because I value love, and because I am ready for more.
Beautiful. And, you know, and I, so mm-hmm. I think it's owning our initiation or initiator ability and not, and there's going to be a quote from her later in the next chapter that I really love, but not taking it personally. If they're not ready mm-hmm. for that, that's okay. It's just not, a, it's just mm-hmm. about this is who I am and this is, I'm reaching out and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point about, you know, just not taking it personally when somebody's just not ready, you know, and it's just a matter of, you know, you especially if you can be in a place where you're just gracious and it's just a matter of like letting people know that, you know, you're interested in getting to know them better. I love it. She's got some really great questions for reflection in that whole section too about, you know, if you're a reluctant initiator, ask yourself a few questions. What is it about initiating that scares me? Why do I resist it so much? What is the worst case scenario if I initiate too much? And am I willing to practice initiating more? So it's a whole thing. I had been looking at another thing about criticism the other day, and it talked about, you know, the best thing you can do is be your own worst critic and go ahead and write all those things down and then walk through them. I mean, that's one thing that's wonderful about this workbook that Shasta's put together. That's free. I mean, you just go to friendtimacy.com and, you know, go ahead and join and, you know, you get a free workbook that comes with all this stuff. So it really gives you the time to be able to just kind of walk around and we talked about last week, you know, the walkabout with some of these questions and be able to see how you're feeling about all this stuff. So practice number four is prioritizing a few friends.
Man, I think that's, you know, for me, that's definitely when I want to work a little bit more, you know, in that area. And again, she's got great exercises and reflection and practice. Like at the very end here on page 96, what is one action you'll take to put consistency into a relationship you want to prioritize? So lots and the worth remembering at the end of the chapter. Very, very good. Chapter 7 is pretty long, so we only have a few, you know, we only have 11 minutes left. So I think we want to jump into that.
Oh, we can do it.
All right. I love
how, you know, we're talking about vulnerability and deepening meaning. And Shasta really looks at, you know, what vulnerability isn't. And I think that's something that's really good to be able to look at that. Because, I mean, we've got all these reality shows where, you know, people are not even having a sense of, you know, putting safety and a sense of, you know, boundaries for yourself, what they can look like. You know, she says a willingness to tell anyone anything, is that a sign of a healthy person? And I think that's a really good question to ask yourself is like, you know, yeah, you know, is what's appropriate and what's a way of practicing safely? And she had done a survey where she'd ask about people ranking themselves when it came to being able to share with others. And it was interesting that the majority of the women lean toward undersharing. So we think that there's this whole thing. And I think part of that's just because it's been in the media so much, and there's been so much of it, literally just feels like in your face about how people are sharing and stuff like that. And is it a matter of divulging information, or are we really seeking to deepen our relationship when it comes to being able to share just what's going on with us? And she says, I firmly believe vulnerability in healthy friendships should be incrementally and mutually shared bit by bit. And I think that's a very good point to talk about. You know, what's really going to be appropriate. And this is a cool chapter too, because we start getting into talking about the compass of vulnerability. And boy, she does a really good job with that. So you want to share about that, Amy?
Well, I really love it. On page 100 here, where she talks about the, and there's a scale in 101 where, one is rarely share, 10 is overshare, and 5, 6 mutually share. And this sentence, I just love it. She says, like adrenaline junkies, oversharing can seem to get more energy the more they expose, all in the hope of bonding with others. And they're just wearing other people out. And it's just, vulnerability doesn't mean throwing out the emotional trash bag in somebody else's yard and then wiping our hands in the satisfaction of a job well done.
Yeah, that was pretty graphic. I was like, wow. When I read that, I was like, wow. Yeah.
When people, I noticed that it's you and I in this phone call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Where are other people? I don't think a lot of people are, really willing to take on this work. This is not easy. And I think most people really don't have friendships and they're afraid to start looking at them. And they're not, the people who think they're sharing really, really aren't. Let's look at them on page 102 here. She talks about increased connection, and that's what did sustained, escalating, reciprocal, personal self-disclosure. Of course, and then you talk about the vulnerability compass, which I really love, and she does such a great job of really putting it together for us. And how she said, number one is the heart in the center of the compass. And start seeing that on page 103, where it says, well, the goal with vulnerability is to ultimately feel comfortable expressing ourselves in diversity of ways. We would be remiss if we didn't say, start with your own self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So she talks about the five practices, and one is, really, who am I? Getting to know myself.
Yeah, she says the first step in increasing vulnerability is through self-awareness, knowing our hearts and believing we're worth being known. And we go back to a couple chapters ago when she was talking about Avatar and the I see you, and knowing that that's something that all of us really crave and want to know about ourselves. She says it's my responsibility to know what my feelings are, and then I share that with others. So, again, going back to the workbook about, what's really true for me and how do I feel about something, maybe we've never even thought about something, and being able to take that time to be able to say, how do I feel about that? Or if we've had friendships in the past, where was I when I had those friendships, and where am I now? I might have changed that or realized that that's just something that I don't need to have in my life anymore. So number two is initiating new activities. I thought that was really fun. Finding friends and going out there and just having these different experiences that, you wouldn't have even thought of for yourself. So, she talks about being daring, ambitious, experimental, and prompt, and then routine. So just different kinds of ways that you can share with yourself, and with a friend, deep friends, about different ways that you can learn about each other by doing these great activities together. And, I always think of these like, team building activities that they have for some of the stuff when it comes to business. But how great to be doing it, with just people who you really can care about and really seek to want to be knowing more about them. I think that's a great idea, having all those different kinds of things. Any of those things that you thought of, Amy, when you're reading them that you've done with friends?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love, I said on page 107 there, she has all those great ideas to start thinking about activities. And I think that flows really well into the next one, where she talks about the conversation arrow. And then a second way we can expand vulnerability compass is by adding new topics of conversation. So you could marry those together, right? New activities could lead to new conversations, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking about We haven't done the show yet, but we've actually done a pre-recording of a show that we did on adult coloring books and how that's such a group activity nowadays that's really taken off and really, again, gives people an opportunity to have great conversations going on while people are coloring and just kind of sharing their creativity with one another. So that's a fun, simple thing that people could put together in a way of having group activities with friends. So I think that's a great, great idea.
I think those match well. And so looking at, she has ideas for expanding conversation, subjects, moods, needs, follow-up styles. And so there's so many ways you can go. And it's right. I love how she's created all these parts start coming together, you know, for that compass. And then the next one is the shine arrow. Is that a third way we can expand the vulnerability compass is by proudly shining in front of our friends while also affirming them. And I say one of the best things, and I'm going to go back to page 108, where she, let me find it real quick. This is one of the most amazing things. Do I exhaust people, I wondered? Because, you know, it's just Shasta speaking, because she is so, you know, out there and very much an extrovert. She said, and it was my job to turn down the volume when I walked in the room. Questions and fears arose. But here you go, ready? But I begged myself not to take it personally and to keep the focus on what she was trying to share about herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that how powerful that was, that she had that kind of courage to really ask her, begging herself to not take it personally so she can hear this other person. So then back to this, it kind of fits to me with the shine arrow. By doing that, you know, right above the shine arrow, she talks about, but while I laughed and dismissed her words, I cherished her intentions. And that day, she planted a seed in our friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she says celebrating our happiness is fundamental, and that it takes courage to be willing to show up fully in front of your friends and be willing to receive their love, too. I think that's, you know, I was like, you know, somebody else. I just kind of got in the habit of somebody to say, oh, that's, I really love that, blah, blah, you know, like they'll compliment me and I go, yeah, or they'll notice beauty or they'll enjoy something. And I'm thinking, yeah, just like you, because it, like, they couldn't see that, they couldn't enjoy that if they didn't have that as an aspect of themselves. And it's just, it's so delightful to see people being able to accept that when you say, you know, something when it comes to that. And it's like, yeah, just like you. And they'll go, oh, yeah, I guess so, because I was able to see that. So I think that's good. And then we move into the shame arrow, which I think is really, it just shows that level of vulnerability and coming from that level of trust, you know, being able to come to that new awareness of yourself. With the good friendships, it's one where people eventually feel as comfortable sharing good news as they do bad, knowing that they're still loved regardless of whatever's going on. So I think that's just a wonderful thing of being able to then, boy, you know, it's that gift of listening, that gift of just being present for someone when they're going through a hard situation, knowing that you're not going to go anywhere. And I'm here to be able to, she's, my insecurities are beautiful and very much a part of who I am. And that person loves me, you know, no matter what, being able to share those things. So, you know, she talks about ideas for the insecurities, you know, communicating acceptance, acknowledging dualism, inviting honesty, and suffering with that other person, being able to be with someone when they're really going through a hard time. And boy, what a gift that is to know that that person's there for you when you have all those things together. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So our next chapters, we're getting into part three about the obstacles of intimacy. And I think it's going to be really great to be looking at all those different aspects of, you know, like we're talking about some of the more challenging things. But we're still really coming from building from positivity, consistency, and vulnerability. And having that as the, you know, the rock and the foundation of all the different things. And being able to lean into the intimacy of things. So really looking forward to that and having that as a conversation with that. So I want to encourage everybody to continue your comments and ideas and just your thoughts about, you know, going through the book and how you're feeling about it. We've been getting some really good sharing from people who want to just, you know, listing their comments and stuff after the show. Remember, go to transformation-cafe.com. And being able to check that out. We're on iTunes and iHeart and with Google Play, all the different stuff that's going on. So any last words, Amy, that you'd like to share?
Oh, make sure you do your homework. There's some, the workbook really helps you bring this home and really gets you, how do I dance with this information? So do your homework And we're going to step next into leaning into intimacy and obstacles to intimacy. The first one will be our own self-worth. So I'm excited to do this with all of you.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody for just really walking along with us with the Cafe Book Club and being friends just all over the world. It's very awesome to have you a part of us. And we thank you, as always, for joining us here at the Cafe. Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.